Praise the Lord.
I want to, on the last Wednesday of May, I talked about a prosperous soul when we looked at some characteristics of a poverty-stricken soul. But tonight, I want to look at soul. This is called soul health. I want to look at basic characteristics of a prosperous soul. Let's go to our initial scripture, 3 John. 3 John, there's only one chapter here, the book of 3 John, and it's right before Jude, and then Revelation, which is right before the book of Concordance. Thank you very much. I'm here all night, folks. All right. Yeah. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish. Now notice that I've got a note in my Bible next to the word wish, a little letter. I look down here, it says, or pray. Most modern translations do say, I pray. I pray above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, think about that. This is the Apostle John here. This is the one who laid his head on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper, that emotional time. He sat next to Jesus. He's the only disciple that went to the cross and was there. And Jesus turned his mother, the responsibility as the firstborn son of his mother, over to John. John, this apostle of love, who was one of the sons of thunder, he and his brother James. Here he says, I mean, think about all the things that he could say that he wanted to pray for. He says, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health. But then notice he says, here's the key to having prosperity, that's always being fully supplied in every area of life. Prospering means to be fully supplied in every area of life. And be in health. How many of you know health is good? Right? Health is good. Prosperity is good. He says, even as your soul prospers. And so he says, I pray this above all things. Isn't it interesting here that soul prosperity covers other areas than just finances? If I say the word prosperity, or you hear the word prosperity, and all you can think of are finances, then you have sold short the definition, the Bible definition of what prosperity really is. All right, does that make sense to you? So John connects here prosperity and health to the condition of our soul. Our soul is our mind, our emotions, and it is the seat of the will. And so our mind, our thought life needs to prosper. How many of you know our emotions need to be prosperous? They need to be something that's a blessing, not a hindrance. But you know, wrong thinking and emotions that are out of control can be a great detriment to people. They can be something that holds you back instead of springs you forward. And so we looked at some of those things that were characteristics, kind of a way to look at those. But tonight, I don't have time to go back. So that was, I believe, the 27th, if my dates are right, the 27th of May. And you can ask them in the bookstore if you want, or go on Rumble or different the Rhema USA channel and listen to that. But tonight, let's talk about some characteristics that are found when we have a healthy soul. Number one, a mind that is ready to respect or change any thought at any time. A mind that is ready to respect or change any thought at any time. Now, when we talk about changing, we're talking about changing to agree with God's word. I'm not just saying you're changing all the time. We're not talking about wavering here. Oh, you know, oh, I got it. Oh, no, I don't have it. Oh, I got it. Oh, no, you know. We're not talking about being blown about with winds of doctrine. We're talking about no matter what I think, if I have a prosperous soul, I'm ready to change my mind to agree with what God says. Look over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse number 2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, think about this. A prosperous soul is a teachable person. Pride, you know, Now, I don't know. Anybody in here still a teenager? God bless you. But you know, as a parent, one of the things challenges with the teenagers, you tell them something. They say, I know. They don't know. But that's one thing that comes up. You know, pride, and that's one of the things of youth is pride. The older you get, the more humble you should be. But that doesn't always happen. But, you know, a prideful person says, I know that. Or, you know, when it comes to the Word of God, I've heard that. But wisdom says, Lord, show me where I need to change. Transformation only comes when we allow our thinking to be challenged with the Word of God. Our spiritual growth and our spiritual health requires constant renewal of our mind. Every wrong belief, we just sang it, you know, your way is better. Every tradition, every stronghold of our thinking has to be surrendered to the authority of God's Word. Hallelujah. So, think about this. The renewed mind is not just a one-time event. It is an ongoing, lifelong process. You know, one of my favorite stories that were told in the Bible, it's not just a story, it's an actual account. An account is that of Apollos in Ephesus, there in Acts chapter 18. He was an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures. But he'd only knew the baptism of John. Repent, for the kingdom, you know, Messiah is coming. And they took him aside and they expounded unto him from the Scriptures and proved that Jesus was the Messiah. And then he went out and preached that same thing. What was this man who was eloquent, a speaker, and mighty in the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures? What was he? He was teachable. He was teachable. And when he received that instruction, he readily accepted it. So, number one, we have to have a mind that is ready to respect and change any thought at any time. Number two, the prosperous soul has a way of thinking that follows the Holy Spirit through the human spirit, not our flesh. Boy, you know, how many of you have had a conversation with your flesh today, your body? Right? It's talked to you, hasn't it? And, you know, thank God for our five physical senses, what we can see and hear and smell and taste and touch. They're given to us by God. Yet they're not to be the final say so on anything. And our body's not to be the final say. You're there in Romans. Look at Romans chapter 8. How many of you know we're new creatures in Christ, right? We got a new spirit on the inside of us. He says this in Romans 8. We'll pick up in verse 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, carnal there represents fleshly minded or physically minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, our flesh, think about your flesh. It always wants the easy way. It likes to be comfortable. Amen. I read a post on social media the other day that said, if you're one of those people that keep your thermostat set in the summer at 74 degrees or above, I ain't coming to your house. Don't invite me to your terrarium. I see people pointing at people. I see daughters pointing at fathers out here. Amen. How many of you are 74 and above? You like it warm in your house? Yeah, I ain't coming to your house. I'm going to sweat. You know. Glory to God. And that's not, nobody wants to see that, me sweating. Anyway. Self-preservation, immediate gratification, that's a big one. But you know, the Holy Spirit in our spirit seeks God's will and is able to lead us into God's eternal purpose. You know, sometimes the comfortable and the quick fix is not God. Pastor talked about that this morning, you know, a little bit, and in talking about joy in the midst of things. Yeah, have you ever thought about it? You know, could God have kept Daniel out of the lion's den? Could he have kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace? Yeah. You know, he could have done all those things. But it was in the midst of those things. Now, there's a lot to that and a lot, you know, that makes that up. But sometimes I think Christians, for some reason, have got the idea you're never going to have any struggles or any type of adversity in life. And I'm just going to tell you right now, that's not life. That's not life on this earth. That might be life in heaven, but that's not life here. But thank God, we're not limited to those things. We have the answer, and that's Jesus. We have the Word of God. Glory to God. But we need to learn how to submit our thoughts to what God is saying. Well, the number one thing where God speaks to us is through His Word. Through His Word. You know, and the Holy Spirit's going to lead us in the ways of life, lead us in the ways of peace. And we're talking about real life, spiritual thinking. Think about this. He said, they that are spiritually minded, to them it is life and peace. But to be carnally minded leads to death. So we need to be constantly led by the Spirit in all the decisions of life. Now, you know, sometimes I know you don't need to fast and pray to figure out what color shoes to put on today. Some folks, you know, there's all kinds of strange things out there. I'm not talking about being that. And the students that are here tonight, they all know one of the things I tell them is don't be weird. Don't be weird as a Christian. Don't be weird. Right? Being a Christian isn't weird. You know, it's not, spiritual realm, I'm out here, you know. No. Amen. And the Bible's not weird. The Bible's written to people whose feet are on the ground. Have you ever noticed there's not any scriptures for people who are already gone? They're all for us. They're for us today. You know what I'm saying. All right? So be led by the Spirit in all the major decisions of life, in that comes from having a prosperous soul. Because here's one thing about the leading of the Spirit of God. It will never contradict God's Word. It will not. The Spirit and the Word agree. The Holy Spirit will never lead me to do something that contradicts God's Word. I've had people tell me, well, God told me to do this. Well, is that the same God who said, don't do this? Well, I know it says that, but my situation's different. Oh, okay. Then you're telling me how carnal you are. All right. Now listen, I've been carnal too, and there's no condemnation with this at all. I'm just saying, If we're disagreeing with the Word of God, we're leaning towards carnal thinking. How many of you know that's true? All right? All right, number three. And this is a very important point here. A prosperous soul has a mind that meditates on God's Word regularly. A mind that meditates on God's Word regularly. Look back at Psalm number 1. Of course, you know, we could go to Joshua 1, but let's just look at Psalm 1. To meditate on God's Word. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means, to meditate. All right? Here in, picking up in verse number 2 of Psalm number 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. See, we're talking about having a prosperous soul. So when we have a soul that's prosperous, we prosper and we're in health in every area of our life. How many of you know health is more than just physical health? Aren't you glad for mental health? Aren't you glad for healthy relationships, healthy job situations? Amen? A healthy vehicle to drive. Glory to God. Health in every area. But notice it comes when we spend time meditating in the law of the Lord or the Word of God, he says, day and night. Now to meditate, meditation in the Bible is more than just reading something. Meditation in the Bible involves thinking on something, speaking something, pondering something, rehearsing what God's Word says until it becomes part of our life. When you meditate and I meditate the Word of God, that the image of what God has said becomes so real on the inside of us that we begin to speak it out, and that's what faith does. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Meditation is in that realm of hope. It builds an image. It builds an image. The words build images. You know, if I say to you, dog, everybody, you know, just everybody think of a dog, right? Ready? Dog. All right, everybody thinking of a dog in your mind right now? Now, let me change the image. Brown dog. Now, if your dog wasn't brown, you had to change the dog you were thinking of, right? See, every time I had that, if I said big brown dog, maybe you had a little, you know, you've got to change the image. Words produce image on the inside of us. God created our spirit to be His canvas. And His Word paints an image on the inside of us of what He said. And so when, for instance, when we talk about prospering and being in health, and we're looking in all those areas that God wants us to prosper in, then that as we go to God's Word, it begins to paint an image of us having what God's Word says and doing what God's Word says. You know, for instance, how many of you know Jesus said to His disciples and to us, go ye, right? King James, go ye. In other words, you go preach. Now, you could say, well, that's just for those who are called to preach the Bible. But no, He told us all to go. He told us all to go. You know, and so when I'm thinking about going somewhere, I already have the go. I just have to see if God says not this time. I know when I first got, this month, June 30th, 1980, I got born again, filled with the Spirit of God, and thank God for that, and that group of people who were, you know, kind of, that was in the charismatic renewal days even, and the group of people I was around, they're from every different church denomination you can think of in our town, were meeting and having a Monday night Bible study, and hardly anybody knew much of the Word of God because we all came out of, you know, some churches that didn't really preach the Word and had a lot of traditions, and, you know, there's a lot of books out there at that time that weren't based on the Word of God, but based on experiences, and, you know, that was just to come. Sometimes you just went to Bible study to have an experience, you know. And boy, did we have them. We got them. That's what we were believing for, you know, those experiences. But we, you know, just had all kinds of things. But I remember this big idea of, you know, well, you got to, you know, in about witnessing and sharing your faith with people. There was a big, you know, caution that you have to have God's perfect timing. Because if not, that person could reject the message forever. Well, I understand a bit of what you're saying, but listen, Jesus said, go preach the gospel. He didn't say if it's the right time. In fact, Paul said, preach the word. I like to emphasize, be instant in season and out. Always be ready. Always be ready. Okay? And so, you know, thinking about God's Word in this way, that we spend time meditating, rehearsing, letting it paint a picture on the inside of us. You know, that picture of you going, of you sharing the gospel with somebody, of you laying hands on the sick. You know, that's one thing as Christians that as we mature, at some point, we have to be the person that's laying hands on people, not the person that's having hands laid on them. Nothing wrong with having hands laid on you, but at some point, we need to make that transition. And especially when you look at the Gospels, because Jesus said, the works that I do, shall you do also? At what point are we going to see ourselves doing His work? What did He do? Well, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He taught in their synagogues. And He healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. How did He heal? Sometimes He spoke a word. Sometimes He laid hands on everybody. Sometimes they touched Him. It didn't matter. God can get healing to people any way He wants to, right? We just have to be the vessel. Well, at what point do we become the vessel? And what point do we start seeing ourselves do the work of Jesus? And here's the thing. If you never see it on the inside, it'll never manifest on the outside. Because that's how God works. God works from the inside out. That's why he said to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're already saved. How many of you are glad to be born again? Amen. It's on the end. You know, we're brand new creatures in Christ. But, you know, it does take a while to get that to the outside. And he said there with fear and trembling. I don't know where I read this, but I read after somebody and they said fear and trembling is like fear is reverence and that, but trembling is like maximum effort. And they likened it to you know, trying to push that barbell up that's got that weight, and you're trying to max out. In other words, you're trying to lift the heaviest weight you ever done, and boy, you get it up there, and you see that trembling starts taking place, pushing against that. That's what he said to give this maximum effort. Work out what's on the inside of you. Get it to the outside. Now, meditation is, we move away from head knowledge to heart revelation. And then from that point, we start to practically apply the Word of God. You know, we can know we have a strong soul and prosperous in our soul when the Word becomes the primary source of all of our information and all of our direction, and we are acting on the Word that we know. Acting on the Word that we know. All right, my fourth point is that a prosperous soul has a mind that is disciplined to positive things with no fear, no worry, or negativity. Well, let me say that one again. A mind that is disciplined to positive things with no fear or worry or negativity. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. This is actually where we ended our last time talking about this in Philippians. We were talking about how that if our soul is prosperous, is poverty stricken, in other words, that's not prosperous, then everything we hear, we take it to the deepest, darkest place we can. You know, sometimes folks, you know, an example of that is you have a pain in your side. And it's just, you know, I don't know, sometimes, I don't know enough about, but there's things inside my body I hope I never see. You know what I'm saying? There's just things in there. And sometimes there's just like a bubble went through or something. What was that, you know? But you know, if everything that happened, because there are people that are like this, as soon as that happens, their mind, they've trained themselves. And there's a whole lot of good Christian stuff out there now on how your mind develops pathways of thinking. And it because that happens, and that pain, it goes to that pathway, and you know, you're thinking, you know, Granny had a pain like that right before she died. I remember going to Granny's funeral. Now, here you go. See, I remember going to Granny's funeral, and I remember, yeah, they did this and that. You know, I think at my funeral, I want, and before you know it, you got your whole funeral planned out, and all you did was they eat a bad biscuit or something? I don't know. You know, it's just. I remember in 1982, as a 21-year-old, went to the. They had a singles fellowship here in the over in the skating rink. That's all we have is a skating rink back in '82. The gymnasium wasn't there, and one of the they had a guy. I can't remember that guy's name, but they had some of you that are around that long remember the Trumpets of Zion. They had this group that, oh, they were hilarious. But anyway, the one guy, Cliff Payton probably remembers the guy's name I'm trying to think of. But he spoke. He did some songs and spoke. He worked in the maintenance department here. At that time, we called him the Rhema Blue. They all wore blue shirts and had their name. But he worked down there, and he was talking about, you know, be careful now. You know, you're here, you're a first-year student, or you're a single, and you're seeing, you know, you're looking across the room, and you got that feeling in your gut, you know. It's like, oh, this is the one. This is the one. He said, just make sure it wasn't a bad biscuit you ate, that it really is love. So I say that in this area, you know. Don't let your mind run off. Now look here, how do we know we have a prosperous mind? Look what it says in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Well, that's the Word of God, right? How many know God's Word is truth? Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See, let's just go backwards from that. If I can't praise God in this situation, I don't need to be thinking about it. Well, I've got to, you know, you've got to, no. First of all, who told us we had to have an opinion? Amen. Can I praise God over my opinion? Well, sometimes yes, sometimes if my opinion is based on what the Word says about it. But there's a whole lot of times, you know, that we should, all right, if this isn't praiseworthy, if this isn't something that can glorify Jesus, I'm going to let it go. You know, well, I'm just going to, you know, I won't know things. You don't want to know those things. Those are things you don't need to know. You want to have a prosperous soul and be in health as your soul prospers? You know, there's people that because of their thinking, they're sick today. They've made themselves that way. They've worried themselves into situations. But this having a disciplined mind, we're still going backwards. If there be any virtue, if it's praiseworthy, I'm going to pull this up in a couple different translations here real quick. Philippians. Oh, there it is right there. Sorry. Well, that probably won't help. I could read it in the Swahili, but it was not going to help any of us. I better pull up a different one. Amplified Classic says this: if there's any virtue and excellence, virtue carries the idea of excellence. Excellent. You know what? We should concentrate on thinking excellent thoughts. Excellent. What is excellent? It's above the ordinary. How many of you want a mind that thinks above the ordinary? Well, you got to train it. You got to train it. We've got to spend time in God's way. And as we go along, as we've said, you know, we started out by saying ready to change any thought at any time. We talk about following the Holy Spirit. We talked about meditating on God's Word. Now we're to this place where we discipline ourselves to think the right things. It's interesting, he goes on there, he says, anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things, fix your minds on them. Well, if you were here, not this morning, but last Sunday morning, Pastor Denise talked about fix it. You know, I got a hold of a book years ago that this woman had written on a scripture out of Isaiah called a nail in a sure place. It's fixed in a sure place, right? How many of you have ever hung something on a nail and the nail wasn't fixed, right? And it pulled it down, right? But she talked about taking it from the scripture and that the things of God, you need to fix them in place and have that nail in a sure place. And that's how God operates. He's a sure anchor. When God does something, He anchors it the right way. Glory to God. Having our minds fixed on these things. So in order to do this, I'm going to have to intentionally direct my thoughts. Now, having a negative thought is not sin. How many of you know, negative thoughts arrive uninvited a lot of times. But they don't have to stay. Thoughts are choices. So when fear, anxiety, worry, discouragement, reasonings, imaginations come that are contrary to the Word of God, then I have to make a decision. And if I'm practicing and I'm working in the Word of God, then those decisions become, no, you can't stay in my mind. I know I won't think on you. Right? You take that thought captive. Just like someone, like, you know, you can't stop every bird that flies over your head, but you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. Amen. And you know, we got to be like David. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, it's good to have people around you that can encourage you. Right? You know, you don't need those people that agree with the devil. You don't need Job's friends. Amen. Glory to God. Pastor Bill talked about that last Wednesday night, talking about don't take revenge. You know, if anybody had a right to take revenge, it would have been Job. Them dudes, man, they were telling him all kinds of stuff. You know, and then there was his wife, just curse God and die. Well, you know. No, but Job, how did Job get out? God told him, you pray for those. And God turned Job's captivity. Amen. That used to be a big deal. You know, you don't know the word of God. You know, well, I'm suffering like Job. Well, get ready. Woo, glory to God. Twice as much as you had before. Amen. No, you're not suffering like Job. Amen. Let's look at one more. This will be the last one tonight here real quick. A will, number five, a will that is settled to do God's will no matter what the cost. Look at Joshua chapter 24. There's something else, you know, that we all need to understand, that there is a cost to obey God. And the cost is to put your flesh under. Amen? And maybe, you know, sometimes to obey God, it's not to live where you want to live at the moment. It may be not to be able to drive what you want to drive at the moment. I don't know why I'm thinking about that. I think about Pastor Bill talking about the Falcon was better than the bus. Every time I think of the Falcon, I think of the Chevy Vega. How many remember the Vega? Pull up to the gas station and said, check the gas and fill the oil, please. Amen. Some of you remember that old car? You know, you can wrap that thing out. Do about 10.5 seconds in the 40, you know, or quarter mile. It took forever to get it going, you know. But you burn four quarts of oil just to do that. Amen. Joshua 24, if you don't know about the Vega, God bless you. Look at verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, that's a will that's settled to do God's will, no matter what the cost. Not some emotional statement, but commitment. The issue has been settled. Obedience is not something that we strive. We've made the decision to be obedient. If God says it, I'll do it. If Scripture commands it, I will follow it. Think about this. Anybody that we would consider to be a great man or woman of God has reached the point where they had to choose God's will above their own comfort, above their own popularity, above their own convenience or personal ambition. I heard somebody say this years ago, when do people need you? When they need you. It's not always convenient. It's not always, you know, especially ministry, you know, that and being there for people and being a help to people. It's not always convenient. But when I settle my will, many spiritual battles are removed before they even start, because I've already made the decision. You know, what did Jesus say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And that's the same point we are here. A will that is settled to do the will, God's will, no matter the cost. There's a whole lot more we could say about this, but time doesn't allow us tonight. I just encourage you to find out, you know, what the Bible says more about what a prosperous soul, what are the characteristics. Look at the things that we've talked about tonight, things we talked about a couple weeks ago. I really want to encourage you to do that. All of us have to continually check up on ourselves. Check up on ourselves. Amen? And I think probably one of the keys we didn't mention, but it's to stay Spirit-filled. Well, when I stay Spirit-filled, it's not a mistake that in Ephesians chapter 5, being filled with the Spirit's there before, submit one to another. Wives, submit to your own husbands, and husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I mean, what you, to do those things, you got to be full of the Spirit of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. Prayer team's coming down right now. Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight. Father, I pray for each and every person that's here tonight, each and every person that's watching or will listen to this. I thank you, Father God, that you've made a way for us to have a prosperous soul. Because our soul prospers, we can prosper in all areas of life and be in health, healthy physically, healthy mentally, healthy, Father God, emotionally, healthy in our finances, healthy in our relationships, health breaking out everywhere we go, Father God, because you've helped us to have a prosperous soul. Father, lead and guide each and every one of us in the areas that we need, and we know that, Father, that because of Jesus, we win in every situation. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for any reason, come on down, ladies, to the ladies, men, to the men. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God. Don't forget, ladies, tonight is the last night to sign up for the ladies' fellowship. That'll be out here in the east lobby. You can do that. So if you still need to sign up, do that tonight. There's I think the kids' basketball camp starts tomorrow in the morning. Don't forget, if you signed up for that, be a part of that. And then, of course, we have the kids' camp coming up the week after that. So a lot of things to do. Pick up a bulletin so you know what's happening. Amen. Shake hands with somebody before you leave tonight. Let them know you're glad to be in the same family of God they are, and you can be dismissed. Amen.